Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord. God bless you. God bless you. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
And I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. And this is the Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. We know that this is coming to the end of this year. And 2013 is just a few days left. And we'll be going into 2014. But we want you to know that this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We know that God has some things in store for us. Thank God we leave some things in 2013. We leave it behind. But we go on to do greater things in 2014. And we know that it's God's will that we do so. So before we get started, let's go ahead and bring Prophetess Crystal in and let her give us our morning announcements and our morning prayer, and then we'll go on into the word that the Lord has for us. Prophetess.
Amen. Good morning, everybody. Once again, welcome to our broadcast, Kingdom Lifestyles. We pray that this broadcast is a blessing to your life. Amen. Just want to give the announcements this morning as follows. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m. join us, Apostle Christopher McQueen and myself, the Kingdom Lifestyles broadcast. That's at 7 p.m. on Tuesdays and 10:30 a.m. on Saturdays. On Thursdays at 7 p.m., join me for Prophetic Atmosphere. And you can hear every broadcast live at www.ctkr.org. That is also our website. While you're there, we ask that you would just take some time to get to know us and the ministry. Amen. Get to know more about the ministries that God has graced us to cover. Amen. Also, want to let you know, if you would like Apostle McQueen or myself for ministerial engagements, if you would like to know more about just general information, or you would like to put in a prayer request, as you're on our website, go to our contact page, click on the tab, and you will see that information located there. Give as much detail as you can. Amen. And then someone will get in contact with you within 12 to 24 hours. Amen. Also want to let you know that Christ the King Redemptive Ministries and Women of Prophetic Destiny, also known as WOPD, does have a Facebook page. We invite you there. We would like to hear your praise requests, your praise reports. Amen. Just want to hear and see how this ministry is blessing your life. Amen. That's Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, as well as WOPD, also known as Women of Prophetic Destiny, on Facebook. Like us there. Amen. Those are the announcements for this morning. Amen. And now let us go into prayer. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, we glorify you, we magnify you, for this is the day that you have made. We're rejoicing and we are glad in it. Father, we just lift our hands up before you this day just to worship your name, to give your name praise, to give your name glory, to give your name honor. Father, we just submit our lives another day to your perfect will. Father, we just humble ourselves this morning. We ask that you would have your way in the lives of your people. In the name of Jesus, God, we just say, excuse me, we ask for forgiveness right now, God, for everything that has not lined up with your word in our lives, for everything that we have said, done, or thought to do or did not do, every sin of omission and commission, God. We just lay it aside at your feet. We ask you to wash us in your blood. Wash us and cleanse us, God. Forgive us for disappointing you. Forgive us for bringing a reproach against the gospel, God. Forgive us for not living up or walking in obedience to your word and your will for our lives. God, we are looking for 2014, that this is the day that every crooked pathway will be made straight. This is the day that we will walk in obedience, God. We just ask that you would change our will over to your will. In the name of Jesus, you said my food is to do the will of the one that sent me and to complete his work. Father, we just decree and declare that word over our lives this morning in the name of Jesus. Now, God, as the man of God comes to minister your word this morning, we ask that you would just set it on fire with the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Give him the wisdom. Give him your wisdom, your knowledge, God, as he begins to bring forth your word this morning. Let it bring change to the lives of your people and the mindset. Tear down every stronghold in the lives of your people. In the mighty name of Jesus, God, increase our faith evermore in you as we walk in your will. We thank you. We praise you. We magnify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And amen. We're so grateful that God has allowed us, as I said before, to minister this gospel. And there comes great responsibility to do what God has called us to do at the level that he's called us to do it. So when we begin to look at where we are and we take assessment of this year 2013, that we're going out of, 2014 that we're going into, there's a few things that we have to really look back and see. First of all, we have to look back and see what the Lord has done. There are a lot of things that we should have succumbed to based upon our personal proclivities. We were predisposed to certain things. You know, there are certain things that we are afraid to do, afraid to step up, afraid to move forward in. There's some things that God has called us to do that we have just flat out been disobedient concerning. He spoke to us. He told us. He's given us signs, wonders. He's given us prophetic utterances. It has been confirmed. And yet and still, after all is said and done, there you are. You know, what do you do now? Leaving out of a year where the mercy of God has covered you. And I said it before, because it can't be the grace of God when you're walking in disobedience. Amen. So when you are walking in disobedience, it's the mercy of God that covers you. But mercy comes to an end at a certain point. And when mercy comes to an end, then you have to ask, you know, God to help you. Amen. Because that's where you have fallen outside of his grace, outside of his mercy. And if the Lord should not tarry his coming, if the Lord should not tarry his hand, a judgment upon you, then you'll be consumed. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
But thank God he has kept us and has kept us again. Amen. I'm not saying that people are perfect. I'm saying that people need to learn how to be more obedient to what God has called us to and what God is saying to us. Now, let's look at this year that we're coming out of. In 2013, we have had several movie stars and prominent people who have left, who have died, who have gone on into judgment. Some have taken their lives, and some have lost their lives, and some had their lives taken. Amen. We have been given, or we're dealing with a government that is ineffective, not because they don't have the capacity, but because they don't have the compassion to be effective. You know, when you can cause a government to shut down because you're upset at the fact that you don't like how things are going, and if you were in control and what you would do, you know, then what you're basically doing is saying you don't care about those who are affected by your anger. You're not caring about those who are affected by your point of view. You know, whether or not it's right or wrong, you can't even see a variance. You can't see depth or perception because you are one-sided, one-viewed. That means that when common sense should step in, common is not there. And that means that there's no sense to what you're doing. Yet and still, we as a whole have to deal with that. We have watched a certain party drag down into the mire the whole political process, and holding it hostage till the elections can come. And all while they're doing it, they're pointing to the other side saying they did it. Well, you know, we're not blind and we're not crazy. Amen. Election time come, we'll go in and we'll prove that we're not blind and we're not crazy. The problem that we see as looking at this year and some of these things is that we have found that there are certain issues that we thought would have been put to bed by now that are very much alive. We're looking at racial issues. We're looking at other type of issues. There are things that are gaining strength and gaining popularity and gaining political clout, if you will. People are held hostage to points of view that does not mirror the whole, but a certain sect that has gotten to a place where they can say, oh, this person is homophobic, or the Bible doesn't say anything about, and let me just say something here. For those who try to read around the words of the Bible is very clear on homosexuality. It is wrong. It is a sin. It is not natural. It is not something that God has smiled upon. I've heard somebody say, well, they were talking about the way that they were going to know the man, which was violent, but doesn't say anything about a loving relationship. Listen, the Bible talks about effeminate. It talks about sodomy. Sodomy. It talks about homosexuality. All of those things are spoken of in the Bible. And I don't care how you try to put a spin on it. I don't care how you try to twist it. I don't care how you try to make it say something other than what it says. It is what it is. And the Bible says it is a sin and it is wrong. My point of view does not go out to the person who has been molested and the person who has come up and been conditioned for homosexuality. And when I mean conditioned for that, I mean there was somebody in the family who was influential in their life so that they saw it as the viable choice in their lifestyle, not as something that was a dysfunction in humanity, but something that was a function in it. I'm talking about those who had the predators who came after them and did things, and they came looking for ways to express, you know, what happened to them. I'm not talking about psychological or mental disorders or anything else. I'm not talking about any of that, you know, because those will bring a result, amen, that we see. We notice that people who have been abused tend to abuse. People who have been around alcoholism tend to become alcoholics, amen. Those who have been around drug users and drug dealers would tend to become drug dealers and drug users themselves. So we become then conditioned by our environment to certain things. And when you are conditioned, it doesn't become a dysfunction. It becomes a function to you. Now, my point of view is not on anything of myself. It's simply in the Word of God. And if God says this is wrong and this is not my way, then I can't turn around and make it God's way because it fits my way. Amen. Bible says it very clearly. It says there is a way that seems right unto to a man, but the end thereof is death and destruction. Bible also says that every man's ways are right in his own eyes. So what we have now is we have watched over this year, we have watched certain things that have happened, and many people have applauded, many people have cried concerning what has happened. We have something that has been going on in this country concerning same-sex marriage. And it's interesting that the fight and the focus on that has been really at a biblical institution. Marriage, as far as it being legal, is not really a problem. The problem is when you take something that you despise, the Word of God, and you try to make it what you believe it should be based on what you like. So when we have now those who are part of alternative lifestyle wanting to have the same relevancy as those who have a Christian moral connection, then you run into the problem of people trying to take the Word of God to validate where they are. That's what's going on. And we've watched all of these things happen over this past year. But there have been some good things as well. We have seen some wonderful miracles, signs, and wonders. Do you know that when a people or when a nation or when those who love the Lord turn to him and begin to call upon him, that he will respond, he will answer? And in doing so, what we have seen is miracles, signs, and wonders. There are certain things that have happened this year that if it hadn't been for the Lord's hand, if it hadn't been for the Lord being on our side, we would have succumbed. We would have fell to the wayside, you know. We would have been cast down. We would have been destroyed. There's been some things that the Lord has caused us to walk through and caused us to succeed in, and we are ever appreciative of what God has done for us and through us. Now, since we're looking at that, we have to also look at that there have been some things that have been spoken, some things that have gone out as a way of prophetic utterance that the Lord has spoken concerning what we should be doing. Amen. Prophetess, what was the word for 2013?
That this was a year to produce.
Yes. And so then if we're looking at a year to produce, then we have to look at production being a number one priority as it's related to God. And I want you all to take certain note you know, do some introspection at what you produced this year. If the Lord has called you to a certain work, a certain assignment, if he's called you to a certain level, a certain behavior pattern, if he's called you out of some things and to some things, look at where you are as we leave out of 2014. Mm-hmm. Have you met those goals? Have you met those assignments? John, the fourth chapter, 33rd verse, Jesus said, my food is to do the work of him who sent me and to finish his assignment, or to finish it, you know. So when we look at that, mm-hmm. he's saying, you know, it's not just to do the work, but it's to finish the assignment. And if God has given you something that should be accomplished within 2013,
mm-hmm.
you know, you have to look at, did you do it? Or did you give excuse as to why you couldn't do it? Have you tried to do it? See, the thing about trying is that when you try things, you go forward and you attempt. And you find out when you attempt, whether or not this will or whether or not this will not work this way. But see, the other thing is, you can't try something you never planned for. And when you fail to plan, then you plan to fail. So that means that there has to be plans. There has to be focus. There has to be determination. There has to be dedication to go forward. And we can't look at you, amen, as one who says that I'm following God and I'm following everything that God called me to do, yet and still when God speaks to you, you fail to respond to the voice of God. This year, 2013, if you have found yourself in a deficient place, if there's a deficit upon the demand of your life as it relates to the body of Christ and what God has called you to do, then first thing before you get out of 2013 is you need to ask God to forgive you for disobedience. Forgive you for disobedience. Now, why do I say forgive me for disobedience? Because a lot of times we fail to go forward and we blame anything and everything upon our failure to go forward and produce, saying that we can't do it, we couldn't do it, well, we ran into this problem or that was going to be an issue. And I just, before I got to that, I just decided that I didn't want to try to do it because I didn't want, you know, to, wait a minute, hold on. If you fail to try, you fail to succeed. No one has ever succeeded who did not try first. It is part of the process. When we put up excuse upon excuse as to why we can't do it, then what we're telling God is that his grace is not sufficient for us. Hear what I'm saying now. When God tells us to do something, he gives us a commandment to do, and we fail to do, we tell him that his grace is not sufficient for us. Well, I would never say that. Yes, you would. You don't say it with your mouth because we learn how to be politically correct, but we say it with our actions. When God has told you to move, when he has given you a mandate to go forward and do, and you fail to do, then you're telling him that you don't believe that he has your back in this situation. And we have to make sure that we never send that message out. Amen. The enemy has been trying to tell you that God don't have your back. And the more that we listen to him, the less we can hear God. If you're crying out saying, Lord, I can't hear you, I want to be able to hear you and hear your voice, then you need to stop listening to what the enemy says. Let's go back to where we was in Luke, the first chapter. Luke 1 and 34. Mary here is saying something to the angel Gabriel, who spoke to him, to her, told her what she was going to do, and she's going to have a child. She's going to do everything. But guess what? The Bible says, then Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I do not know a man? And I told you all last week, as we were going into this week, thank God Tuesday and Thursday, we dealt with some internet issues, so we weren't on the air. Thank God we're here this morning. But when we spoke about this, we spoke about the fact that Mary heard something that was outside of her comfort zone, outside of her character, was outside of anything that she was ready to do. It was in her plans, but not at this point. We know it was in her plans because she was betrothed to Joseph. That means that she planned on being married. She planned on having children. She just didn't plan on being married and having children this way. Amen. So marriage is the betrothal part, but the child part should come after the marriage. In the culture and in the day it was when she was found not to be a virgin anymore, found to be with child, then she was to be ostracized. She was to be stoned. She was to, there was so many different things that would have happened, things that are common today. Young men and women are deciding not to get married, but to try to raise a family. Young girls deciding that in order to pay for school and other things that they'll go out and get pregnant, and because they have friends that are on assistance and friends that have gone off to school or as part of programs to get them educated so that they won't be a burden to the system. So I've had one young lady tell us that she was going to get pregnant so she could get a check and some food stamps and they would pay for her school. And I said, listen, that's not a life, you know, choice that you need to be making. That's not good. You don't make that choice because after you have going to school, after you have done all of these things, then there's still a child whose life is going to be impacted upon whether or not you really wanted that child because you wanted the child, or whether or not you were trying to find a meal ticket in order to get down the road to the next place where you would then start thinking about what do I do now. So there was no planning. There was just, well, I saw my friend, they got their own place, and I saw my friend, and they get this much in the check and this much, and they got medical, and they got, so, you know, I'm about to be out here, and I need to go ahead and take care of my own business. And that was the mentality that she had. Well, guess what? That's a bad mentality, especially when you're not planning on your tomorrow. See, we can't make decisions today that look good today without thinking about the impact of that decision tomorrow. If tomorrow you get down the road and it was a bad decision, don't make the decision today. But most people aren't making those insightful decisions. What they're doing is they're responding and hoping it works out, or responding and saying, when I get to that, I just go ahead and take care of it at that point. And God didn't call us to that. God has a plan for our life. God knows what he's doing and why he's doing it. And even if he calls you to something that seems to be outside of your comfort zone, outside of your norm, know that God has already determined that the outcome of this is going to be the blessing and not the curse. The Bible says it very plainly and very good. It says what the enemy meant for evil, God will turn around and has meant it for your good. In other words, there's certain things in your life that he has allowed to happen and will allow to happen. But it's not for your destruction, it's for your making. When you turn back and look back in your life and see some of the things that God has brought you through and how it didn't destroy you but gave you insight, gave you wisdom, gave you an understanding, gave you a compassion in a certain area. I was telling some people, I said, listen, before I went through the situation that I've gone through, I did not have a compassion for a certain group of people. I figured you just did what you did and you got what you got, and you should have known better. But after I come through this, I understand that there's another side to this. Amen. So with that being said, there are some things that you will go through in your life, some things that you will experience, some things that God will take you through. It's not for your destruction, but it's so that you can learn how to trust in God better, trust in God greater, understand his purpose, his plan, his will for your life, and be equipped. That's really it. When you get down the road to that place. See, people need to see that you can go into the depths of hell and come out unscathed. But what testimony did the three Hebrew boys have to speak after they came out of the fiery furnace, and not a hair on them was singed, and no smoke upon them, no fragrance of where they been? See, there is no testimony that they have to say, because the life and ability, or the fact that they went into it and they came out, testifies of itself. And some of you have gone through some things and gone into some things, and God is trying to tell you and show you, listen, I'm taking you into something, I can bring you out. Amen. And when I bring you out, it's going to testify for you. Amen. These things then become the issues and the processing that God takes us in and through to bring us out. Mary went into this situation knowing the outcome could be bad if Joseph decided to walk away from her. In society, she would have had a child without a father. She would have been looked down upon, and the child would have been considered a bastard. It would have been a child without a father. So in looking at that, she had to be confident in what the angel said. And I said it before, there's no problem in asking God for clarity. There is a problem in questioning God's integrity. Amen? So when Mary's asking here in the 34th verse, she said, how can this be since I do not know a man? What she's saying is, I'm hearing what you're saying, but I need clarity concerning this. And we need to learn how to ask God for clarity. Instead of, because we don't see her say no. We don't see her put digging her heels. We don't see her, you know, with her nails dug in the ground as she's being dragged along to her her destiny. We don't see that. We see her pondering. We see her thinking. We see her hearing the words. We see her now ask a question for clarity. Excuse me. And as she gets clarification, she still doesn't back down at what he says. So when the angel said, 35th verse, then the angel answered her and said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And now this is the sixth month for her who was called barren. Amen. For with God, nothing will be impossible. So he has now given her clarity of what she asked. Okay, I'm hearing what you said. I know there's a situation here with Joseph, but yet I'm willing to follow God, even if I have to go through hardship to do so. Even if I have to sacrifice something to do so, I'm willing to go ahead and do it. If it is for the glory of God, I'm willing to go forward and do it. And brothers and sisters, we have to get back to the place where we're willing to go forward and do things, not just for our personal gain, not just for our personal aggrandizement, but for the glory of God. And if we're doing it for the glory of God, then God has already designed and set for the reward that comes with your obedience. So, as I said before, we have to ask God for forgiveness. When we look at 2013 and what we should have produced and what we should have done and where we should have gone and how much we should have accomplished, and we see that we are lacking and deficient in certain areas, we have to ask God for forgiveness. Because if you had a question, you should have asked the question for clarity and not just question the fact you had to go. See, she didn't question the fact, why me? How come y'all can't find somebody else? I got my life plans. I know what I'm about to do. I'm betrothed. You know, I'm going to do good for myself. Why y'all trying to mess me up? Listen, this isn't a mess up. This is a come up. Amen. When God chooses to use you, it is a come up for you. Amen. So when we go forward and we look at 2014, we have to start making some resolutions within ourselves. So that we can accomplish some things for 2014 that we failed to accomplish for 2013. The other thing we need to look at with 2013 is there were also some successes, as I said. There's some things that we have gone forward and did. We have tried God. He has turned around and validated himself concerning us, and he has spoken up. There are times when the Holy Spirit has spoken and where heaven itself has cleared its throat to make sure that it was validated, amen, what God wanted. So the enemy has plans to destroy, but God has plans to develop and elevate. Amen. And when you go through, regardless of what the enemy tries to do, God always knows that the outcome is always going to be for your good. In 2013, there have been some successes, some things that have been victories in your life. Now, some of y'all know that there are some things that you should have succumbed to. There are some things that should have took you out. There are some things that should have knocked you down. There are some things that should have kept you down. It was a hard enough blow for you to think about not getting up. It was a blow that hit you where you thought, you know, staying down would maybe be better. Amen. There were some times when you felt like just plain on giving up and just walking away from it. There are some things that have happened, some things that have occurred where you have said, Lord, you know, I don't know how we're going to do this, and I can't even think anymore. I need you to think for me. I need you to speak for me. I need you to move for me because my mind can't articulate my or can't comprehend. My mouth can't articulate it. I'm trying to look at it. I'm trying to see it. I can't get my head around this is really perplexing me. And if it hadn't been for the Lord coming in and the wind of the Holy Spirit blowing through there and getting rid of all that smoke, all that fog, if it hadn't been for him, then you would have succumbed this year. But he gave you the victory. The Bible says it very clearly. He says, he prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Some of you this year have been able to now identify who those enemies are. See, before they were smiling and grinning in your face and they were right there with you. I was sharing with somebody, I said, I thank God that early on in my life I was a musician coming up as a child. So I played for people and played in different bands and for different concerts and services. And leading up to it, you know, we were all going out to eat and talking and calling each other on the phone and friend, friend, pal, pal. And then after the conference happened, after the concert, after the event happened, you go to call them to see what they're doing, and now they're busy. In other words, they were never your friend to begin with. They befriended you to accomplish something in their life. That's all they were there for. You know, as soon as that was accomplished, they have no more use for you, and they move away. So where you went to establish a relationship, they just was looking for an end result. You know, and after you finish, then you hear that they were the ones who were speaking. They were the ones talking about, and talking you down and running you down. And yet and still, you gave it your all. You spoke. You did what you could. You were there, Johnny, on the spot. See, God rewards us because of our response to people, not from the perspective of how we respond to people. And I need to clarify that. When people do you wrong, it's God's job, and he takes that very seriously, how he's going to deal with those who do his children wrong. While you sitting there trying to figure out a way to get back, God has already figured out the get back plan. Amen. And the get back plan starts with you. What do you mean? Well, he says, bless those. Bless and curse not. Oh, wait. This ain't going the way I decided. I wanted it to go. You have to understand that the end game, if you will, the bigger picture here, amen, the end result that God is seeking is not the destruction of a soul, but the saving of one. And if they have done you wrong, then that means that you know how to pray for them, amen? You know how to deal with them. How when the enemy comes in, and he is the enemy, amen, when he comes in, God knows how to clear his throat. God knows how to do what he needs to do in order to uphold and validate. The Bible says that our justification comes from Christ, amen. He is our righteousness. He is our justification, amen. And when you understand and recognize that, then you'll stop trying to justify rectify situations. So allow him to do what needs to be done. Your job is to pray for their souls. And in praying for your souls, then God can do what he needs to do in the situation. Amen? Amen. We have lost the ability to be intercessors in the earth because we have been trying to get people to see us. And when we have people see us, then we believe that we have arrived at a certain place. I read something, and I'm going to look for it because someone said something and I liked how it actually was worded. And I think this year we need to really look at that as well. There are certain things that people have done, people have gone through, and they have gone through it for a reason. So busy trying to get people to see them and like them and appreciate them, they have put themselves out, if you will. They put themselves in harm's way, if you will. Amen. And God didn't call you to that. Amen. God called you to demonstrate the kingdom. He called you to demonstrate the power of the authority of the kingdom of God. When you are people-pleasing and seeking to please people, then the first thing that happens is you will try your best. And I do mean your best. You will try your best to go out and do whatever it takes to make them like you. Huh? Make them smile at you. You want those people to you know, give you the thumbs up and the attaboy, amen? And you sometimes put yourself in harm's way because if God didn't call you for them, then you mess yourself up messing with them, amen? Amen. Here we go. Elder Paula Ratchford out of Michigan, amen, dear friend of ours, said something on her, said these words. She said, most of us are holding on to people's approval and missing out on God's favor. Stop looking for everyone to make you feel good about yourself. Look to God. Amen. And I see at the bottom here, she actually got that saying from Pastor Jackie McCullough. Amen. We know her as a powerful, mighty woman of God. But I want to look here and say something. Most of us are holding on to people's approval and missing out on God's favor. When we're talking about this here, amen, huh? And we're saying what God when we are looking at this and we see that, amen, people's approval is so important, we stop following what God wants and we start trying to please men and women concerning what they want. And when you are pleasing men and women and what they want, then you stepped outside of the grace of God into the favor of man. And I just want to let you know and remind you that God's favor will always be greater than man's approval. See, God knows the whole picture. He knows the whole story, whereas man can only see what the Spirit shows him. I want to say that again. Man can only see what the Spirit shows him. Amen. And if they are not connected to the Holy Spirit, then what they see is a deception and distorted anyhow. You know, because those who are connected to the body of Christ sees what God is doing. The Bible says it very clearly. It says, to the pure all things are pure, but to the defiled there is nothing pure. So when you're running around and you're dealing with people, or when you're going around and you're dealing with people, and everything that they say comes back as a defilement and other things, you're really dealing with somebody who doesn't have a purity in themselves, because they can't see the purity in others. God called us to do a work. God called us to assignments, and we got to be about those assignments. Amen. We have to be about his business. Amen. And if you are about the assignment, you are about his business, then God can get the glory out of your existence. Amen. And that's really what we're looking for. So now, in this aspect here, we have seen then that there are some things. Amen. There are certain things that we have missed God on in 2013. And there are some things that we have accomplished for God. Amen. We have made it. Amen. But now, when we look at going into 2014, realize concerning 2013, that there are some things that we are still waiting on them to come to pass. Now, let me go back to this again. Luke 1 and 35. The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who was be born will be called the Son of God." And let me say this. There are some things that will be accomplished in your life where you look at it, and even though it didn't look the way, it didn't come about the way that it should have in your mind, it was still God. Amen. And because it was God, God will cause whatever it is to become the blessing and not the curse. I said that already. Then there's the other thing, is God will always send the witness to that, because in their life, the witness will have a testimony that if it had not been for God, then this could not have occurred. The angel goes on in the 36th verse, said, "Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And now this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren." In other words, she was unable to produce. And in 2013, there were some things that you were unable to produce, set up, spoken, began, not accomplished in 2013. But when you go over into the new year, you'll find out that what was barren can now become fruitful, multiply, and do what needs to be done. Amen. So when God called you to it, amen, notice that the word spoken here to Mary, she did not become impregnated and tomorrow morning about this time she gave birth. No, she still had to go through the process of development. She had to go through those trimesters, amen, the first, the second, the third trimester. She still had to deal with the birthing pain. She still had to deal with the discomfort in her body, amen, while she was carrying the child. She still had to go through everything that every other mother has gone through in bringing forth this child, amen. And some of you have gotten upset and got discouraged because you thought that surely God was going to cause this baby that he's called you to be impregnated with, this thing that he called you to just appear. And he said, "No, I'm speaking it into your life now, but it's going to come to pass later. You're going to see the process of it being formed. You're going to see the process of it coming to fruition. But it is not just for now, it's for a later time." The Bible tells us to write the vision and make it plain, that they that read it may run with it. For the vision is not for now, but it's for an appointed time. Amen. And if you tarry and you wait, it shall speak and not lie. It shall come to pass. There are some things that have been spoken that you began in 2013 that didn't come to pass yet, because now was not the time. But stay with the vision. Keep developing it. keep working it, keep going through the process of setting the foundation and making sure that it's ready so that when the day and the time comes, when it comes to fruition, that everything has been set in place, everything is there. I don't know a mother or father who now has a child that is coming who isn't getting the nursery together, or they're not getting stocked up with diapers and the baby showers with the baby clothes and all kind of other things. They're making sure right now before that baby comes that there's already a surplus. There's already provision. There's already resources for it. And the same thing spiritually here. What God has given you, what God has called you to, has impregnated you. Amen? And you're going forward with it. And as you go forward, there's going to be some things that you're going to have to go through. As you go through them, it's not because it's not going to happen. It's because it hasn't happened yet. But keep there. Keep going, because as you go forward, there's going to be a day and a time when you're going to get the birthing pains. And at that point in time, you're going to know when to push. And as you push, you'll see it come to pass. It will manifest. And as it manifests, you'll go back and you'll look and see what it is that you have prepared for it. I look at what King David did. He knew that he wanted to build a place for God. He knew that he wanted to build a temple. Thank God for the tabernacle that moved, but he wanted a temple that was stationary. I live in a palace. I want God to have his own. We're going to build that for him. And God said, listen, I love what you're thinking about doing, but you can't do it. But the one who is coming behind you shall, your son Solomon. So what David did then, and we see this in First Chronicles, amen, we see this about the 29th chapter. So we see him prepare then the offering and get everything ready for something that was coming, amen, because it had been spoken before. It had been put inside of him what he wanted to do. He then prepared the resources. He prepared everything else. He got it ready so that when the day and time came for it to come to fruition, everything would be in place. You right now, God called you to do some things. Mm-hmm. And you waiting on stuff to show up. You waiting on the phone call. You waiting on people to recognize. You waiting on the approval of others. God says, stop waiting on everybody. Stop waiting on everything. Get to work doing what I told you to do. Prepare for it. Amen. The Bible tells us in Isaiah, it says, enlarge your territory. Enlarge the, expand the tent. Amen. Take those stakes and move them out. Get ready for what's coming. You can't get ready for what's coming if you're not, when it gets here, you're not ready for it. Amen. You can't say, Lord, I'm ready for increase, and you never prepared for it. Lord, I'm ready for the next level, and you never prepared for it. Amen. God will never give you something that you have not prepared for. I want that really to hit you in the top of your head. I want it to shake your body all the way down to your heels. Amen? To your toe tips. God will not give you something that you are not prepared for. So while you're sitting here fighting and talking and going after it and upset and everything else, guess what? God can't give it to you because you won't prepare for it. So if you want to see the blessing, you want to see the increase, you want to see the next level, then you have to prepare for it. Let's look at what Mary said here at the very end. After she heard all of this and she hears about now Elizabeth, the angel finishes the words here as we come to an end, as we're coming to an end, amen, in the next minutes, amen. He says in the 37th verse, for with God nothing will be impossible. And all of that he said was for a reason. It was to prepare her heart and her mind so that she would understand that what was being said to her was not something that was beyond the possibility. But with God, it is the possibility. Amen. With you, God has spoken to you and said what he wants to do. And even though it is something that seems to be beyond it is not beyond God's ability to do. Amen. So when God told you of your greatness, he wasn't talking about your broke down past and your existence today where you just making it. He's talking about the wealth and the abundance of his grace and mercy. Notice I didn't say of money. Amen. Of his grace and mercy upon your life, the favor that's upon you that causes you to walk in doors that other people can't even find. Amen. People have found a door but have not found a way in. And God will cause you to find the door and walk right in as if you own the door. Amen. The thing is that he has already prepared you for in your matriculation, in your processing. And as you have gone through that, God has given you the ability now to walk into places where your pedigree doesn't qualify you, your education doesn't qualify you, and you don't have a credit rating that qualifies you. You don't know anybody at this level with this level of security clearance to even stand in the presence of these people. God will cause you to walk amongst great people because you have been humble before him. That way, when you get over there, you don't become big in your own eyes. You recognize that if it hadn't been for the Lord, who was on your side, you would not have the ability to do what you're doing. You would not have the ability to have what you're having. That way the glory does not go to you. The glory stays with God. Amen. So he said, for with God nothing will be impossible. It is a declaration that we need to take into 2014. Amen. And as we look at that 2014, we have to understand that 2014 really means it's a multiple of seven being the number of perfection, spiritual perfection. That means that there is a witness now to that perfection. It has been doubled. Amen. How can two walk together except they agree? 2 times 7 is 14. Amen. When we look at this, we see then that there is a combined blessing upon those who walk and those who move according to spiritual perfection. What do I mean? I don't mean that you're perfect. I mean that you are walking according to what God has called us to. Amen. So when we begin to look at the fact that we have been matured through God, amen, matured through our walk, matured by the Holy Spirit, we allow him to do for us or do to us what needs to be done so that he can get the glory out of our life. We find then that he gets greater glory out of those who are set according to him. 14 is an interesting number, amen. We can see that the book of Exodus in the first month, the 14th day, the Paschal was selected and slain, amen. We see that Jesus was crucified in the first month, the 14th day. See, there's so many things there. It speaks of salvation. It speaks of redemption. It speaks of deliverance. Amen? And as we get into 2014, you need to understand how all of these things are actually going to come to pass. Make up in your mind, my brothers and my sisters, that I'm going to do this year, coming in 2014, what I failed to do in 2013. And instead of allowing the enemy to tell me of my shortcomings, remind him that with God, all things are possible. I end with this. Amen. Mary said it, behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be unto me according to your word. Now, let me show you something. The Bible says, and the angel departed. That means that the word that comes to you, some of you are sitting around waiting on that word and looking at them trying to get another word. But my thing to you is, look, the messenger left after the message. You see that? The messenger left after the message. In other words, there is nothing else coming other than you completing the assignment that you have been given. Stop sitting around waiting on another word and do the word that you were given in the first place. Amen. God wants to bless you. God wants you to go forward and do some great things. Amen. Listen, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this word. We thank you for the opportunity to minister to your people. We know that at this time and in this situation, Lord, you have called us to greatness. We have to step up to the call. not wait for the greatness to come up to us or come to us so we can step up and be great. Greatness and leadership and those things are developed, and you are the one who is teaching and instructing us. So help us then, Lord, to move forward and do what you called us to do without reservation, without question, without anything else, but simply obedient to the word of God. Help us to do this now in the name of Jesus. I pray now, Lord, for those who are under the sound of my voice. I pray for healing, deliverance. I pray, Lord, for miracle signs and wonders to manifest in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray for those who are not saved, Lord. I pray that they will pray this prayer. Father, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation in Jesus' name. Lord, if they prayed that prayer, Lord, I pray you lead them to a Bible teaching, a Bible believing church where they can be developed and matured and go on to do the kingdom lifestyle or live the kingdom lifestyle you called them to. Lord, I pray for our churches over in Africa. I pray for our sons and daughters, Lord, even the resources that they need in this day and time. I pray, Lord, that you would give them what they need so that they can go on and do the work that you called them to do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, listen, go to our website, www.ctkr. There you'll learn more about us. I pray that you become a vision partner with us. There are some needs that they need over in Kenya, over in Uganda, over in Nigeria. Amen. We have Pakistan and a couple others that have come and asked for our covering and asked for our help. And we're asking you to help us to be a resource and a blessing to them. God blesses you when you bless others. Amen. And on our website, you'll see a donate button. Press that button. Donate a charitable gift. Amen. And that will go towards helping them. Or helping us to help them. Amen? Amen. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, reminding you that it's God's will now for you to live today and tomorrow the kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord. Know that we love you as Christ loves you.